Chicago Casino Studios.
It's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank
on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Talked about the creepy clowns earlier. A lot of people jumping on the clown bandwagon because they get entertained by scaring people. A lot of people like being scared. It gets that adrenaline rush and the goosebumps and the hair standing up. Like, woo!
If you choose to go on a roller coaster or you choose to go in a haunted house, you are choosing to be scared. That's different from some creepy clown jumping out of the woods and chasing down
right.
your feet.
Right.
I'm not in the mood to be scared right now.
And some people are completely terrified of clowns and have the clownophobia where they will actually have panic attacks and freak out and they can't function. But I guess what scares you is relative to you and not other people. I mean, going to a haunted house, I mean, Heidi's like, I start punching people at the haunted house. It doesn't really scare me that much because I know they're actors.
Yeah, but my thought is that that's the best place for a real bad guy to hang out.
So just in case you're a bad guy, you punch out the worst.
The poor teenage kid who just wanted to get a couple extra bucks on Halloween.
Stop chasing me.
It's my job, ma'am.
And don't call me ma'am.
If you are extremely wealthy, I think your biggest fear is not creepy clowns or haunted houses. It's losing your money.
I've heard that.
That when you hear about, I know.
Like poor Tony Braxton.
When they're like, when is enough enough? When you're talking about the billionaires who are not paying taxes or whatever, and they keep accruing more and more wealth. When is enough enough? Well, I think it's the fear of losing it that drives you to keep making it. And so you it's never enough.
It's never enough, no. And once you have stuff, you're fascinated with your balance, your bank balance, your mutual fund balance, the value of your home. And if it goes down, because nothing goes up forever, stock markets crash, real estate bubbles burst, values go down, that drives you insane. Oh, my God, my net worth is... We had this terrible financial crisis, what, in like 2008, 2009, 2010, and a lot of your net worth went down by 50%.
Oh, yeah.
So, and you saw your 401ks going down, your bank, your house is worth it. Didn't that drive you insane? Now, can you imagine if you're a multimillionaire and your $3 million bucks is now only a measly mill and a half? How will I get by?
Well, that's like Lisa just gave us the list of highest paid television hosts. And so you got Dr. Phil at number one with $88 million. But they always put out the Forbes list of the richest people in the world. And so, you know, for the past, what, 20 years, it's been Bill Gates, or the last 15 years. He is number one on the list again with $81 billion.
Oy.
Now, they do the foundation, the Gates Foundation. They do a lot of charity with that money, so good for them. But in the number two spot now, it used to be Warren Buffett for the last 15 years, but he's been knocked down to number three. So you think when he opens up the Forbes and sees that he's number three now on the list, he's like, what?
Ain't that a bitch.
For 15 years, I've been number two, and now I'm number three. Who passed him was Amazon's Jeff Bezos.
Oh.
He is now the second richest person in America.
He should be.
The Amazon CEO's move to number two pushes Berkshire Hathaway's Warren Buffett to third. The first time the billionaire has lost his number two spot in 15 years. And Bezos added $20 billion to his fortune this year, making him the biggest gainer on the list for the second year in a row. He has a net worth of $67 billion. Like I said, Bill Gates, still number one, $81 billion. And Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook founder, has entered the top five for the first time, and he made $15.2 billion last year and raises his net worth to $55 billion.
God almighty. Okay, Warren Buffett, so he slips a notch. He still has the biggest house in Omaha, I guarantee you. That has to bug him, right?
That has to bug you.
It's got to, even though he has no money worries, it's a worry to him.
I mean, even to be the top five and all of a sudden you're losing your position. I mean, that's a game we can't even consider playing.
No.
Can you imagine, I mean, and hopefully we'll all be there someday, but can you imagine having Zuckerberg money or Gates money where you're not a 100,000-aire, you're not a millionaire, you're not a multimillionaire, you're a multi-billionaire. So money means nothing. Whatever it is you want, you can buy and buy another one tomorrow.
It means nothing, yet it means everything, like Frank said. It's like don't think about it on a daily basis because you're just like, yeah, get it.
You have no worries about anything. The only worry is losing it.
Right. That's all you think about.
So it's nothing and everything.
I'll bet Bill Gates, if he saw a quarter on the sidewalk, wouldn't stoop to pick it up because the value of his time is more.
They've
than
that.
But he would probably obsess if he saw if he couldn't find a quarter that he had in his pocket. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The money you have.
Is this the type of guys, like all five of these guys in the top five most richest Americans, are these the type of guys who go to a dominatrix and get spanked because they're just such powerful men and money means nothing. They can do whatever they want. So it's like, this Bezos guy, doesn't he look like he'd be in a dungeon, sex dungeon somewhere, being treated like crap?
With a ball gag in his mouth.
I mean, he totally looks like, just spank me, mommy, spank me. Because he needs it. He needs to have some, control.
Where he can
let go. He can do anything he wants. He needs to have somebody tell him what to do.
Put a wig on him, he's a creepy clown.
That much money, you could sleep with whoever you want.
So the power is unlimited to these guys. So how would you like to be their heirs and be told you're not being left
the fortune?
Does Bill
Gates have kids?
Yes, they all have kids.
They
Bill Gates has kids. Warren Buffett has kids. Michael Bloomberg has kids. He's up on the list. Founder of eBay, I forget his name, he got kids. I just saw recently all these guys, including the founder of Home Depot, Bernard Marcus, has three kids. He says, quote, leaving my children a large inheritance would be a terrible burden. So these guys I've just named, they're leaving the money to charity, not their kids.
Oh, my God.
Gene Simmons, who's a multi-millionaire, said, quote, the kids will get a small inheritance, but every year they need to be forced to get out and get out of bed and go to work and make their own way. So he's not leaving him. He's not leaving his kids his fortune either.
Probably just enough.
Just enough to get
by. Or it's not crazy. Or do it like in every 10 years you get a little bit. You don't get it all at once.
But you're never going to get the billions. You may not even get the millions.
Yeah, I mean, if you earn the money and you got a couple loser kids who don't have the focus or drive to achieve what you achieved, why do they get the gift
of your
hard work?
That's a tough one, man.
If you got good kids, they can probably do it themselves. Yeah, and you could help them do that. You can teach them how to do that.
Give them a little nest egg.
Yeah, I'm a billionaire. Let me show you how I did it, son.
Look, I know that, here's the weird thing. I know that you're supposed to teach kids the value of money. Even though I got money, son, daughter, go out there and discover what a dollar means, get a job and work for it. But that's the average middle-class way of thinking. If you're a multi-billionaire like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, and you've got billions of dollars and you love your kids, don't you want them to have a life of luxury too? So to not leave them a life of luxury and make them struggle to get by, live check to check, just so they appreciate a dollar, seems like a cruel thing to do to
them.
They've
probably grown up in a life of luxury, right? They live
to luxury.
Do you really think they have servants who bring their kids, drinks?
Well, they probably. You know,
and all of a sudden somebody comes over in a white suit and gives them a Coca-Cola? No.
Oh, Cracker Boy. The cracker and cheese.
Cracker Boy.
Ritz. No, Ritz. Send in the Ritz boy. These are townhouse.
Yeah, we're billionaires. We're Ritz. Where's our Ritz boys?
We're not eating Zesta.
This ain't a wheat thin house.
Zestas. No saltines here.
Cheese, it's my ass. I'm a billionaire.
I want pop chips.
How do you have that
like
talk?
You're just naming back chips.
That's all
now.
I'm officially just hungry. Jalapeno pop chips. What?
And those suck, by the way. Pop chips, I'll say it. They're awful.
No!
It's flavored styrofoam disc. Shut up. What? I don't care. Anybody who has a pop chip and you say you like them, you're an ass.
What's a pop chip?
They're no good.
They're terrible.
It's good.
It's supposed to be like a pop corny disc. Made of like puffy poppy corn.
Give you a communion?
They put,
like a communion wafer?
Yeah, it's that size, but then they have different flavors.
It's like Party Jesus.
Yeah, Party Jesus. Doesn't Party Jesus sound amazing?
It's awful.
It's like a rice cake.
Like
Jesus,
flavorless. Party Jesus.
If I ever meet the person who invented pop chips, I'm punching him in the face. Can't stand him.
Bet he's a billionaire, though.
Probably.
Yeah.
So if you meet the guy who made Pringles, you're going to break him into 15,000 pieces?
He has one of those faces I'll recognize in public. One man looks like the Pringles guy. Parted hair and your silly mustache.
But after all the technology we have, we put a man on the moon allegedly. Can't we figure out how to have damn Pringles that aren't broken? They've been around for 40 years.
You can get a potato chip not broken, and it's in a very tender bag.
Yes, exactly.
Pringles are in a can.
It's cardboard can. They're all smashed to smithereens. Anyway, how do you have that talk? How do you tell your kids you're a multi-billionaire guy? Your kids are probably expecting to inherit that. All right, son, we're going to sit down and have the talk. Now that you're 25 years old, you ain't going to get, we're going to give you 50 grand. The rest goes to you. Dad, if you love me, you're going to give it to me. Don't you want me to live a life of luxury?
Did you ever ask your dad how much he made for, doing his job? Did you ever have that? My son came to me and he goes, Dad, I'm just curious. How much do you make doing your job? I go, well, it's... Let me tell you how much Heidi makes. And I told him how much Heidi makes, and he started dying laughing. He's still laughing today. He's like, what? It's our running joke.
Yeah.
I just throw out a number and he starts dying laughing. And just shaking his head like, what? Are you kidding me? My God.
Even at 12, he's like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't see it. I don't understand. Well, I'm glad that I can make your son laugh in some small
way.
Well,
I told him how mom you made, he'd probably cry. Like, what?
Did he say why he needed that information? That's a weird question to ask your father.
No, I think at some point every kid wonders, is like, what? Where are we in life?
As far as
like,
you
is he
live?
What we have? Yeah. I mean, I think I've changed the class, I guess, the financial class of my family. I mean, I didn't grow up and we had new cars all the time. We're a leasing car family. It's new every two.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they don't know about the old station wagon with the rip in the seat and stuff like that and having to deal with what you have as opposed to let's just go get new.
I know Frank from the same town.
I'm blessed. I know.
Frank's from the wrong side of the track.
I sound like such an ass. I just meant, you know what I mean, right?
I know what you mean because we're from the same town. Frank is from the other side of the river where the poor people live.
Yeah, I was a poor person.
He was. The wrong side. You don't hang out with those
people.
Although
he did have an intercom in his house. Rich kid.
New tone.
Whatever.
Intercom system.
I would have loved to go to your house. Oh, that would have been amazing.
Which is what you need in a house that's 1,800 square feet?
Yeah, three bedroom. You couldn't hear. Yeah. Like, why don't you just yell, Mom, like everybody else does?
Frank, your toaster strudels are ready. They're down here.
That was great. But then they could also turn on the intercom and listen to what was going on in your room.
Oh, it's what it is?
Oh.
Frank, stop ruining your socks again. I'm sick and tired of washing those damn crusty accordions.
Sorry, Mom.
See, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, it was really an invasion of privacy. It really was, Mom. Come on. 1-800. Did someone snort? Did someone just go?
Sorry.
Did someone do that?
That's so low class. I know. I've dropped down a couple notches. I'm back to low class. But I didn't expect to hear crusty accordions today.
No. Which is a good clown name, by the way. Just to bring everything around.
The crusty accordion clown. Oh, that's scary. I don't want to see him on Halloween. 1-800-955-5567. Coming right back after traffic. What's going on, Lisa?
Sigler working in Pomona.